it's not me. It's not Adam. I don't sit with him and help him. But we have Jack Wilson, who is going to be sharing this morning, which is very cool. So I've had the opportunity to sit with him for a few afternoons and listen to his ponderings. And it's always great seeing God through someone else's eyes. So, Jack, I've been meaning to ask, how are you feeling?
Nervous.
Let's pray. It's all right. Father God, I just thank you that your spirit is in Jack. And I pray as he speaks that we can see your spirit moving through him. Lord, that by his words that you would work in us, that you would reveal just your majesty, your awesomeness to us in new ways. Strengthen him. Keep him focused. Keep him breathing, we pray. Amen.
It's yours. Amen. Thank you, Colleen. Well, Morena Church, how are we feeling? Good. Who here likes talking, doing public speaking? Hands up. Okay, sweet. So you can probably understand that I'm a little bit nervous. But that's okay because I've got a message to share. And I think it's going to be a good one, so... Let's start. First off, yes, kia ora, my name's Jack. I'm a member here at Papanui Baptist. And recently we've been exploring an I've Been Meaning to Ask series. We started off this series looking at questions like, what is your name? Where do you live? And where are you from? And we heard stories from Kath and Sam Hutchinson. Following this, Adam spoke about the unique experiences we have and how they shape our walk with God, the God who says, come and see. This was followed by some time to share stories with one another, and we'll be doing a little bit of that today. Then last week we heard from Rosemary and Sam, and they were sharing about the heavier things in their lives, followed by a reminder from Colleen for us to stop and to listen, to shift our attitude from an Eli who says to Hannah, are you drunk? To an Eli who says to her, go in peace. And so today I want to continue by exploring another woman's story, the story found in Mark chapter 5, the one that we've just heard read. And then I'll follow with a short testimony about my life. So is everyone all good with that? Sweet. Double thumbs up if we're cool. Just cut the mic if you're not. as it was mentioned last week, text without context is just pretext to whatever you want to say, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength attitude. And I want to avoid that a little bit by just deep diving into this passage in Mark 5. I'm going to be focusing on verses 25 through to 31, looking at the bleeding woman. And so I have a clicker, look at that. Where does it hurt? Boom. Nice small words for everyone to read. So a couple things context-wise I just want to point out as we dive into this is the first one that gets mentioned often when it comes to this passage is that the woman had been bleeding for 12 years. Now, I haven't experienced bleeding for 12 years, but I imagine it is exhausting. And in this culture, the context which is worth knowing is that bleeding equals being unclean, and that if you are deemed an unclean person and you touch someone else or someone else touches you, it makes them unclean. And so we learn this from the Levitical law. It's in Leviticus chapter 15. And so the way that people dealt with that in the time is that they just chose to exclude people who were bleeding or that were deemed unclean. And so that's some context, is that this woman, she wouldn't have been able to go to the synagogue or the temple, and she definitely wouldn't be allowed to be pushing through the crowds. The second part that I've highlighted is that she came up behind Jesus, she came through the crowd and she reached out for Jesus' cloak because she thought, if I just touched his clothes, I will be healed. And for me, that raised the question, like, why his clothes? Why not just touch Jesus, right? However, there is some significance. We know that this is in Numbers 15, that the Israelites are instructed by God to put these wee tassels on the end of their garments. The word for that, and I'll probably butcher it, but it's a tzitzit on their tallit, which is tassels on their garments. And they were instructed to put tassels on each of the corners of their garments. the garments that they wore didn't really have corners, so over time it kind of just turned into a fancy scarf with like some tassels on the end. Anyway, the point being is that they were instructed to put these tassels on their garments because they were to be reminded, to remind the people of the commandments that God had given them, and to remind them that the God they serve is the God that brought them out of Egypt. And so these tassels that the woman reaches out for, the cloak that she reaches out for, hold that significance. And so from what we understand is that at the time, there's a messianic belief that originates from a line that you can find in Malachi 4:2. And this may or may not have influenced the woman's thinking as to why she reached out for him. But the line goes, "The Son of Righteousness will rise up with healing on its wings." And the Hebrew for wings in this line is kanaf, which can also be translated into corner or edge. And so the connection point that potentially could be made there is reaching out, for the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on its corners or tassels. Anyway, what I've decided is that we're just going to watch a short video from The Chosen, because I found that it's a really good tool to help us kind of step into Scripture sometimes and imagine what might have been happening in that moment. So real briefly, we're just going to watch a small clip from The Chosen. So let's just turn our eyes to the screen.
She is unclean. We removed her.
Please, I promise I won't touch him. I just need...
Oh, woman, please, we can help you, but not now. Who touched me?
Everybody back.
I asked the question. Who touched me?
Master, the crowds are pressing in all around you like this, and you're asking who touched you? They all have.
Someone touched me.
I felt that power went out of me.
Whoever touched me, come forward.
Teacher.
It was me. Just the fringe of your garment, only the edge. I promise, you are not unclean.
Why my garment?
I'm sorry. I know I should have asked. But if you touched me, it would make you ritually unclean according to the law. I was sick. I was sick for 12 years. I bled and no one could stop it. But I believed if I could just touch a piece of your garment. And I was right. I was right. Thank you.
Who told you I could heal?
A man from the pool. And he was right. The blood has ceased.
My daughter.
I'm no one's daughter anymore.
Look up. Yes, you are. Daughter. It wasn't my piece of clothing that healed you.
But it was instant. I felt it right away.
I know, but it wasn't this. It was your faith.
Teacher, she was bleeding so long. We can take her.
She is clean.
Huh?
You have blessed me today. And I know, my daughter, I know it has been a fight for you for so long. You must be exhausted. Go now in peace. Your faith has made you well. I wish I could stay here longer.
It's quite a powerful video, hey? Something that wasn't included in the video, but we heard in the scripture reading. We just flick to that. We read that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. And I can't imagine what the doctors looked like at that time. I imagine it was quite expensive. And if you're a bleeding woman excluded from your community, you're not going to be making a lot of money to pay for these things. She'd spent all that she'd had, and yet she'd gotten worse. Just like the bleeding woman, I believe we also seek the care of many doctors, both literally and figuratively. It could be doctor drugs and alcohol. It could be doctor work, doctor entertainment, doctor shopping, doctor romance. Any Married at First Sight fans? Taking notes? It could doctor, dot, 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 insert the doctor that you seek. Yet we find ourselves spending all that we have, and rather than getting better, we get worse. Sometimes for a variety of reasons, we try to run from God in the midst of our pain and suffering, finding ourselves chasing doctors who make us worse rather than better. It reminds me of this thing that people do when they're in restaurants and they find themselves choking. The first thing they do is they get up, they go, oh, and where do you think they run? Straight to the bathroom. More often than not, that's where they run, because in that moment of, oh, pain, suffering, you don't want to be seen. It feels embarrassing, and so often they'll run away from the very thing that they need, which is the people to help them out. It's this thing that we do sometimes, and I can testify to this because not long ago, I was the at-risk youth, and I turned away from God, and I was chasing drugs, sex, and alcohol. Those were my doctors at the time. However, the story doesn't end there. Coming back to Mark 5, we can see the bleeding woman has heard about Jesus, making her way through the crowds, reaching out and touching his clothes. His response, he said to her, "My daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free, freed from your suffering." It's also what we hear last week when Eli says to Hannah, the high priest says to her, "Go in peace." Making that connection there. So it is this response that Christ gives to the bleeding woman that I'd like to testify to. Rather than spending all that we have on doctors, we can step out in faith and find God in the midst of our pain and suffering. And so I'd like to share a brief testimony. It starts off maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, and I was out serving with Red Frogs. Does anyone here know what Red Frogs is? There's a couple over here. Isaac, what's Red Frogs?
Red Frogs is an organization that was started in Australia and now is worldwide. They help look out for people around who might be getting themselves in trouble at big events like parties and New Year's events and things like that.
Awesome. Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you. So, yep, for those who didn't hear, Red Frog's an organization that comes alongside youth and young adults at festivals and events where there's a lot of drugs and alcohol, and we offer them food and water and some pastoral care, really. And the reason I ask Isaac is because I dragged him and Molly along this year to New Year's in Kaitiriti, and you get asked that all the time. When you're randomly handing out lollies on the street, people have questions. So, thanks, Isaac. So, for me, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I was just getting started with this Red Frogs thing, and I was meant to be stepping up as a team leader for a New Year's event in Queenstown. And in the morning of the day before New Year's, I woke up to the sound of my heart thumping. It was like, hopefully that did that. Cool. I could feel it, like my ears. Yeah, it was a lot for me, and I was actually having a panic attack. And for those who may not be familiar with what this is, I found a short clip from Inside Out 2 that I think illustrates it really well. And the other thing I want to say to that is that, like, anxiety is felt by everyone at some point in their life. What I'm talking about is this is a severe level of anxiety that I experience. It's not necessarily normal for everyone to go through this. And so this is the video.
Come on, Riley, get it together. I'm not good enough. You have to score, Riley, or this will all have been for nothing.
Anxiety, you're putting too much pressure on her.
You don't get to choose who Riley is. Anxiety? You need to let her go.
So yeah, another video to illustrate that point. At the start, we hear Riley say to herself, "I'm not good enough." This for me was the thought going through my mind as I was stepping into a leadership position with Red Frogs. I'm not good enough. And panic attacks are interesting. They come with a variety of symptoms. And so for me, what I was experiencing, it felt like a heart attack. A lot of those symptoms like sweaty palms, heavy breathing, that kind of stuff. For me, in the moment, I ran out of the accommodation we were staying in Queenstown. And for some reason, I felt like I needed to run. So I went running up and down the highway. And I was running, and I was running, and I was running. And I was running for probably like an hour. And this is probably like 5 or 6 in the morning. And trust me, it's not the safest place to go for a run. But after running up and down the road, I became exhausted, and I got to the point where I was actually on the side of the road, and I was just dry wrenching. I was just like, oh, and it was like my body was trying to like get rid of this anxiety. I then remember thinking, God, if there was ever a time I needed you, now would be it. From there, I remembered the breath prayer that I was taught in youth group. You can do it with me now. You breathe in. Jesus is Lord. Breathe out all the time. And so I did that. The next thing I did was recite Psalm 23. Most of it. I couldn't remember all of it at the time. And then after that, I said the Lord's Prayer in the midst of my panic attack. Shortly after, the pastoral care team leader came out from the accommodation. Let's call him Boss Frog. He He came and found me on the side of the road, and he led me through some more breathing exercises, and then he gave me a really big hug. Thank God for Boss Frog. From there, I explained to him that the anxiety that I had and the anxiety that had most likely come from the doctors that I was turning to was making me question my ability as a leader. Am I going to be able to lead these people in a New Year's event? And my anxiety is going to play up, will it? Won't it? It was odd. I was anxious about anxiety. Boss Frog said to me in the moment that I'm not expected to be a perfect leader, and that actually being open about my struggle was an important thing. Later that night, I still got to lead the team, but this time I was partnered with a co-leader, and we had lots of check-ins throughout the night, and I had enough breaks so that I could just take it slow. And so, why do I share this story? What's the point, Jack? Well, in the same way that Christ met the bleeding woman where she was at, so did I feel him meet me where I was at. Each time I took a breath prayer, or I said a psalm, or I said the Lord's Prayer, I just felt this moment of peace. And it was like just enough peace for me to know that God was with me there in that moment. And so though my faith may not be as great as the woman's, and I can't say that I was miraculously healed like her, what I can say is that in the midst of my pain and suffering, when I chose to reach out to God in faith, he met me there in that place. And so just to clarify, I'm not trying to say that, I'm not trying to question people's faith in the midst of pain and suffering. Rather, if you find yourself chasing after these doctors and you're spending all that you've got and you're not getting any better, but you're getting worse, that God is willing to meet you in the midst of those places. Rather than spending all that we've got on doctors, we can step out in faith and find God in that space. I heard it on a video the other day about someone talking about pain and suffering, and he's talking about Jesus, and he says the invitation is to face it with him and to find him in it. To face it with him and find him in it. And so there's an invitation there. We serve a God and we follow Jesus who says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So the invitation is there no matter where we're at. So now we're going to move on and take some time to look at some questions. Colleen.
Well done. Good work. It's always hard when it's your first time up here. Oh my word, it's hard after the 100th time up here. So really appreciate all the work and effort done. Thanks, Jack. Well, it's 15:15. We've got a few more minutes before we're going to close up. And we're going to take some time to listen to one another's stories again. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you will remember that we paused and broke into groups, and we had some question cards that were underneath our chairs. Well, we're doing that again today, but these question cards are a little bit different because they're based around the question, where does it hurt? So because these questions could be a little bit more affronting for people, I just want to remind you of some of the boundaries and guidelines to keep this a safe space for people. So respect boundaries. Yep. So one of the ways we do this is acknowledging that what we share in conversation together with the group should be regarded as confidential just within that group, unless permission's given expressly to share it in other places. Be mindful of your own personal boundaries. You know, we believe that God is calling us to grow more meaningfully and deeper together. And that can mean stepping into a little bit of a vulnerable space. But don't confuse a vulnerable space with an unsafe space. Share only what you feel safe sharing. And that might be about a hurt that was long time ago or about someone else's or not to share at all. So you'll find three different cards on the ground under some of the chairs near you. If it's your turn to share or you're looking, they've been passed to you, choose one of them that resonates most and share around that, or you can just look at them and say, pass for now. You don't have to share. However, what I would encourage you all to do is to look at those questions, and if they do cause a little bit of mamai and a little bit of pain and shame and suffering, to think on that and take that to God later, to keep that with you. If someone shares something that is painful or has been painful and significant, we can often feel the need to either minimize their experience by saying, oh, surely it wasn't that bad, as we try to make them feel better. Or we often really want to make their situation better. But I would encourage you just to sit with their story and just say something like, that must be hard. Or, I've heard you and I believe God has heard you too. We pray that he moves in your story. Yep. Practice that. And lastly, stay curious. Because curiosity is a spiritual practice. It invites an attitude of which God can open our hearts to see more of ourselves that he wants us to see and to hear others' story through God's amazing, creative and boundless love. So we're just going to spend a few moments doing that, and then Adam's going to close us with, well, he'll bring us back with a last song. Off we go.